support comes from Tub Cove. With over 49 years of remodeling bathrooms, Tub Cove can help simplify the process, offering tub and shower replacements and full bathroom remodels. Local and family-owned, with a showroom in Redmond. Designs and information at tubcove.com.
Hey there! From the KUOW Newsroom, this is Seattle Now. I'm Paige Browning. Coming up, this could have been the year that lawmakers brought prison reforms to Washington State. But, once again, legislation to change resentencing laws and solitary confinement ended up on the cutting room floor. Our story today, what got in the way? But first, here are today's top stories. It's Tuesday, April 16th. Seattle leaders say they want to end traffic deaths by 2030, but it's going to take a lot of work to get there. Today, the City Council got an update from Seattle's Department of Transportation. Chief Security Officer Venu Namani says traffic deaths are starting to trend downward in the city, and preventing deaths is a huge part of the goal.
But the story is slightly different on serious injury collisions. Across all categories, our serious injury collisions are going up.
Last year, more than 250 people were seriously injured from car collisions. Where? Namani says not all segments of Seattle are the same.
Neighborhoods in South Seattle are most impacted by these collisions, crashes, and serious injuries.
The Department of Transportation will release a plan later to try to meet their goal by 2030. A big report on anti-Semitism came out in Washington State today. It shows there's been a 192% increase in anti-Jewish incidents over the past year in Washington. That's right, a 192% increase. That is according to data from the Anti-Defamation League's annual report. Diana Apong explains.
The numbers tell a story. A story that says anti-Jewish incidents have risen throughout the region. Today, the Anti-Defamation League of the Pacific Northwest released the results of their annual report. The data details a sharp increase in harassment and vandalism, and the numbers were growing even before the Israel-Gaza conflict began.
Unfortunately, what we saw was that 2023 was the worst year for anti-Semitic incidents, building on the dramatic year-over-year increases that we have already been seeing over the past couple of years.
That was Miri Sipers. She's the regional director for the organization. In total, Washington State had 158 anti-Jewish incidents, including 31 acts of violence and one assault. Diana Opong, KUOW News.
To our environment, state officials declared a statewide drought emergency today. The causes will come as no surprise: low winter snowpack and forecasts that spring and summer will stay dry and warm. Here's how Caroline Mellor with the State Department of Ecology explains the drought.
We are already seeing these conditions here in April, and with forecast for warmer temperatures way above normal and somewhat below normal precipitation, we have no expectation that these conditions will improve. We expect that they'll either stay the same or get worse in terms of drought conditions across the state.
A note, while this is a statewide drought declaration, Seattle, Tacoma, and Everett are excluded from it. These areas have enough reservoir storage to make them resilient. But statewide, there is less than 75% of normal water supply. Ecology is preparing to spend $4.5 million on drought response. Republicans from around Washington are headed to Spokane this week for the state party convention. One key difference from conventions past will likely make it a raucous event. KNKX's Scott Greenstone sent us this story.
Republican delegates will vote on who the state party will throw its full support behind months before the primary. It's a change made to unify the party. Washington's voter base has leaned Democrat in recent decades. Sometimes crowded primaries meant no Republicans made it into the top two and on to the general election ballot. But it's also caused divisions, particularly in the governor's race. Dave Reichert, a former congressman, is ahead of the Democratic candidates in early polls, but he's been slammed for not openly endorsing Trump by delegates who support a candidate named Semi Byrd. State Party Chair Jim Walsh says the drama just proves the party's got energy.
A real convention does involve some drama, and that's why people are interested. That's why we've got a record number of delegates. We're going to have over 2,000 delegates credentialed.
Those delegates will vote on endorsing gubernatorial candidates, Senate, congressional seats, and more. I'm Scott Greenstone in Seattle.
The arts community is buzzing in Seattle today because a brand new art space is going into the old Bed Bath & Beyond downtown. It's going to be called Cannonball Arts and will open about a year from now. The group behind it is New Rising Sun, the same organization that throws the Bumbershoot Music Festival. They're propping up the former store as an exhibit, concert, and fashion space with help from the Muckleshoot Indian Tribe. To transportation now. Officials are looking for input on ways to improve train service between Canada and Oregon. Federal funding is inbound to help the Amtrak Cascades run longer trains and serve more passengers. Much less money has been dedicated to speeding up the trains to help them compete with driving or flying. Arvia Morris is a volunteer activist with the Climate Rail Alliance, and she says trains use a lot less energy than cars.
We're hitting a climate window where if we don't dramatically reduce our CO2 emissions in the next 5 years, it's just going to be a catastrophe. We can get a lot more people using rail in that amount of time if we invest in the rail system.
The Washington Department of Transportation is taking public comments on its 20-year plan for the Amtrak Cascades through this Thursday. The Seattle Storm are celebrating their incoming teammates today. At last night's WNBA draft, the team picked point guard Nika Mule from the University of Connecticut and forward Mackenzie Holmes from the University of Indiana. Mule's getting some Sue Bird comparisons because they were both UConn guards, and Mule actually broke Bird's college assists record. Holmes will bring huge scoring ability to the Storm, but they drafted her knowing she'd be out injured for this coming season. The season tips off in May. One more small note today. Think twice before you get Botox. Hey, I'm not judging, but that's what the Centers for Disease Control is saying today, because 19 people nationwide, including in Washington, have had some bad reactions. Patients who've gotten sick got their injections from unlicensed or untrained people. Now for our feature story today. People in Washington's prisons have pretty limited options to make a case for early release, even once they've spent decades behind bars. Efforts to create more of these second chance opportunities stalled in the legislature again this year. Jeannie Lindsay explains what got in the way and whether supporters have hope for the proposals in the future.
When Travis comes last logged onto a video call from Airway Heights Correction Center earlier this year, he was feeling the pressure.
What was going through my mind was, man, I felt like I had the weight of the world on my shoulders.
He was testifying on a bill in the legislature that could have changed his and hundreds of other people's lives.
Going in there, I was just hoping to have my words be impactful.
Comes Last has been in prison for nearly 3 decades after he shot and killed a man. But a third of his sentence, 17 years of it, was tacked on for robberies he was involved in as a teenager. The legislature decided last year that newly convicted adults can no longer have their sentences lengthened for crimes they committed as kids. But the policy doesn't apply to people already in prison, like Comes Last. This year's bill would have changed that, but late in the session, senators left the bill behind at a cutoff deadline. No vote, no explanation. It was over.
I was heartbroken. Simply put, it was heartbreaking to get that news.
It was one of 2 resentencing bills that died this session. Republicans didn't support them, and many Democrats had concerns too. So what happened? Lawmakers who back resentencing reforms say they were overshadowed by 3 main things. Money, debates over public safety and victims, and politics.
Something between the range of a misunderstanding to a disagreement about the data.
That's Senator Noelle Frame. She says lawmakers didn't have enough clarity on how much this year's bill would cost. At first, the price tag of the bill was less than $500,000. But the final cost estimate ballooned to almost $9 million.
And in a supplemental budget year, that was a real problem.
The ACLU says the change could affect up to around 1,400 people in state prisons. Lawmakers put funding in the state budget to gather more data, but the governor cut it out, so lawmakers will have to get answers another way. Even then, resentencing is a complex and sensitive issue. Supporters of reforms say they're long overdue to right the wrongs of racist prison policies. Opponents argue that resentencing could re-traumatize survivors of crimes. Frame says lawmakers made a lot of progress this session figuring out how victims' needs fit into the resentencing picture. But she also says arguments made on behalf of victims can often be oversimplified or misinformed.
They have their own stories, and the concepts that victims and perpetrators are a binary and those two groups never touch one another is false.
Representative Tara Simmons sponsored the other resentencing bill that died this year. She says resentencing reform is a polarizing topic, especially in an election year.
It's very easy to weaponize sensible criminal justice reform.
She also says debates about policing overshadowed the resentencing conversation. Ultimately, some advocates for these reforms are more hopeful than others. It could be harder to implement more resentencing changes the longer lawmakers wait. But the legislature will look a lot different in 2025. Back at Airway Heights, Travis Cumslast says he's still holding out hope.
Any change don't come without struggle, so good or bad.
And he says change feels closer now than it ever has before. I'm Jeannie Lindsay in Olympia.
You can find more of Jeannie's reporting on state government at KUOW.org. Next time on Seattle Now, members of Seattle's Black Panther Party, including Elmer Dixon, are looking to preserve its history by opening a museum.
The history of the Black Panther Party, in particular in the United States, has always been distorted, if not totally covered up. It's our story to tell. It's our story to capture.
That's Wednesday morning on the podcast. And that's a wrap from the KUOW newsroom in Seattle. Our producer is Andy Hurst, and I'm Paige Browning. Seattle Now and KUOW are members of the NPR network. See ya.
Seattle in the 90s. A tidal wave of iconic music roars out of this sleepy city and launches a pop culture revolution. Here's a story you haven't heard. Let the Kids Dance is a new podcast about the rise and fall of Seattle's teen dance ordinance, the law that made it illegal for young people to go to concerts. A story of moral panic, grassroots activism, and an unstoppable music community that fought for its freedom. Listen to Let the Kids Dance from KUOW and the NPR Network.